some ideas on the parasha. Okay, here we go.
The avtacha of Abraham is here, right here. Yeh li yeh zarecha be'eretz lo lahem. Kmo shezeh nasa, gam ha'geula tiyeh.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
That's why Abraham was objecting it.
It's toli zeh b'zeh. It depends one on the other. That's why Hashem made the world. Okay, let us begin now with the parasha. Parasha Shemois, a new Chumash. We have four blank lines separating Chumash Breishis with Chumash Shemois. Chumash Shemois is a new beginning, a new fresh beginning. Parasha begins with the Eilesh Shemois B'nei Yisrael. This statement, Shemois B'nei Yisrael, is in essence setting the tone for the entire Chumash. What do I mean by that? There appears to be repetition, because here we are describing the people, the Eilesh Shemois B'nei Yisrael HaBoim Mitzrayimo. We go on to list all of the people, not all, we list just the basic names, the Shvatim, the Yud Beis Shvatim, Ruvein, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Uvinyamin, Don, V'Naftali, Gad, V'Asher, and then we give the total 70 souls, Vahi called Nefesh, Yaitse Yerech Yaakov, Shevim Nefesh. V'Yosef Chaya V'Mitzrayim. And then it says, V'Yamas Yosef. Yosef died. Yosef died V'Cholecha V'Chol Darahu. Don't we already know this? Didn't we learn at the end of Parshas Vayechi, didn't it say a long list of all the people who came down to Mitzrayim? It says, V'Eilesh Shemois B'nei Yisrael. It says there, these are the same exact words. Ve'ele Shemois B'nei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim. Yaakov, his children, Bechor Yaakov, Reuven, and we go through a long list, 70 souls. And then we learn in Parshas, Vayichi, Vayomos, Yosef, Vayisem, Oisoi, Bo'aron, B'mitzrayim. That was the last pasuk of Bereshis. Vayomos Yosef ben Meir v'Eser Shanim, Vayachantu Oisoi Vayisem Boaron b'Mitzrayim Chazak Chazak v'Nis Chazek. The Torah does not waste one word, does not waste one single letter. Why is it necessary for Chumash Shemois to repeat the obvious? Why is Chumash Shemois repeating the list of names? And the fact that Yosef died, when it was already taught to us in great detail, was not hidden, swept under the rug. It's out there in the open, in a very prominent, clear description at the end, in Parashas Vayigash and Parashas Vayichi. What's the repetition all about? Why? So I want to suggest it's very simple. Why we have the repetition. Rashi really to a small degree addresses this question. Rashi says it's to show Hashem's love, chiba, a chiba yisera. Hashem has for Klal Yisrael a special love, so Hashem, it counts like person has money. You count the money. People go online every day to see how much money is in the bank account. Someone who loves something, you count it again and again and again. It's to show your affection. Rashi, that's how Rashi learned Pashat Pshat, why there is repetition. I want to suggest another idea, a machshava, a drush. It's a very simple idea. The parasha begins here in Shemos, V'Eilesh Shemos B'nei Yisrael, even though the pasuk is almost identical, there is a very big difference. And that's the word Eis. V'Eilesh, these are the Shemos, the names of B'nei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim, who came down to Egypt. Eis Yaakov. Ish ubei soibo. The word ace, I can't tell you this moment, chapter and verse, proof to this, but I'm certain I'm correct. Thank you very much for the cup of coffee. Thank you. The word ace has a connotation that it's a tofel. It's secondary. It's subordinate. It's not the most important thing. Yaakov over here, the pasuk, these are the names of the Jewish people, the B'nai Yisrael, who came down to Egypt. Eis Yaakov, the father, he's not who we're focusing on. Eis Yaakov, he also, yeah, he was there for 17 years. He was there in the background. They put him in an assisted living facility with Menashe taking care of him. They served good lunch. On Thanksgiving, all the children came to be with him. Unless there was a pandemic, then they had to maintain the laws of social distancing. But Eis Yaakov, Eis has a connotation of being secondary. In Parshas Vayigash, it says the same words. Ve'ele shemois b'nei Yisrael habo'im mitzrayimo Yaakov ubonav. It doesn't say Eis Yaakov. Yaakov ubonav. Bechor Yaakov Ruvein. What's the difference? This one little word tells us the entire difference, which is very critical to understand why it's worthy to repeat all the details. Chumash Bereishis is written from the perspective of the Avos. Chumash Shemos is written from the perspective of the Banim. It's a very big difference. The Avos, the founders, the patriarchs, they have a different perspective. Everyone, that's life. Every parent knows that their perspective on an issue is very different than the perspective, the attitude of the same issue by their children. A parent wants their child to go to college. So from the perspective of the parent, they have life experience. They know the difficulty that is what it takes to make a parnasa. And they've seen the whole, they have a perspective of college. The child, he's naive. What does he know about life? He doesn't understand the way the world works. He has different ideas. He has friends. He has influences. He has a very different perspective. Who's right? Who's wrong? Well, I mean, obviously, there are a million different issues in this world. And usually, the previous generation is right on almost everything. But sometimes there are things that, you know, it's a new generation. And in a new generation, you do things differently. And there's a different, and the older generation doesn't really relate to a new world. And going into the future, looking ahead into the future, it's different. The Torah here is coming to emphasize that in this world, we have to appreciate that the same way no two people look alike, no two people think alike. No two people address an issue the same. And the most extreme difference of addressing issues is not the difference between a Republican or a Democrat. The most extreme difference in relating to an issue are the Avos and the Banim. The older generation and the new young generation. They look at things very differently. They have a different perspective. And the Torah, by repeating exactly the same information twice, is teaching us the importance of understanding that when you address, when you deal with the fundamentals, there's the perspective of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then there's the perspective of the Banim. Here they are, they're coming into a new land. Everything is strange to them. They're used to living in Eretz Canaan, the land that Hashem promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They're living out the dream, right? This is the land. They're living here in Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Canaan. All of a sudden, there is a famine. And they have to uproot themselves and go to a foreign land. Yaakov Avinu, he comes there to this foreign land. He sees danger. He has a concern. What's going to be with Reuven, with Shimon, with Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Don, Naphtali, Gad, Asher? How are they going to survive here? Ve'ele Shemois b'nei Yisrael haboim mitzrayimah Yaakov ubonav. No, Ace, Yaakov is the balabos over here. Yaakov is calling the shots. These are my children, and I have to make sure they're gonna survive here. They're gonna be comfortable over here. They're gonna be able to deal with the situation. And everything that we go and we write in Chumash Bereishis all the way to the very, very end is from the perspective of Yaakov Avinu. He's calling the shots. He's giving hadrocha. He's giving guidance. He's telling them from his long life experience, this is how I have experience. I'm telling you what you have to know, how to deal. Each of my children, he gives them the brachos. The brachos is not just brachos. It's advice for life. Based upon my experience, I know who you are, Reuven. I know who you are, Shimon. I know who you are, Levi. You have to understand. Now we come to Shemos and we rewind. Let's go back, rewind, and let's go into the minds of the children. When Reuven came into when Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, when they came to Mitzrayim after there was a famine, what were they thinking? How did they address the issues that they were facing? You have to understand, they had a different perspective. They had a different sensitivity. They had youth to their advantage, but they did not have life experience to their advantage. They did not have the nisyonis of Yaakov. And that has to be respected. That has to be addressed. The Eilesh Shemois B'nei Yisrael Bo Mitzrayimah. Here's the key word. Ace Yaakov. Now we're going to review the events all over again, and we're going to make Yaakov second fiddle. You're an ace. Yaakov, you're on the sidelines. Ishu base Yaakov. We're not going to focus on Yaakov as being the Ishu base Ubo. We're going to focus instead on the children. And that is the theme. This theme carries us through the entire Sefer Shemos. We're looking at Klal Yisrael from the perspective of the Bonim. Chumash Bereishis is looking at Klal Yisrael from the perspective of the Ovos. It's always critical when you look at an event from whose perspective. When you read a book, whose perspective, who are you writing? The book is being written from whose perspective? Is the author writing the book? Is this an autobiography? Or is this a study? Is this a doctorate? Someone is studying generations later. Is this a child writing? The perspective of who is presenting the information is critical. And it creates an entirely different picture. And not to say you're right and you're wrong. Everyone is right. Everyone is entitled. Everyone has their unique needs and has to be addressed with in a responsible way. And that's the chilik between Bereishis and Shemos. One little word. Es Yaakov. Yaakov, you're not the Iker here. You're the father. The children have the ultimate love and respect. But we're not focusing on you now. We're focusing, the whole Shemos is the Bonim. And that relates very much to us today in because Maisa Ovo Simin Labonim. Going forward into a new, going forward in the future, always relates to the bottom very more often. Every time we want to, we go forward in the future, we focus on the bottom. Ma'is of a similar bottom. When you want to focus on sage advice from the Avos, that is Chumash Bereishis. Okay, I think that is.
Lechazek at what you said, there is a pasuk in the Bereishis there before the list. It says, "Vayavo Mitzrayim Yaakov v'chol zaro ito, banav v'nei banav ito."
Ito.
Notav v'not banav v'chol zaro hevi ito Mitzrayim.
Ito, exactly.
He was there. The
tafel. Ito, exactly. Ito, exactly, exactly, exactly. Okay, let's discuss. I think we'll talk some shorter ideas today. You know, Hafeich b'Chazal tell us that the parashios, the current events, are rooted in Parashas Hashavua. Hafeich ba de kulaba. You can't deny that it's not a coincidence that this week, finally, it has been decided, for better or for worse, Vayoka Melech Chodosh. Okay, the words, I mean, the leader of America. America is acknowledged to be the leader of the free world, the superpower of the world. And it was an election a long time ago. And this week, it's over. It's over for real. It's over for real. Even Trump conceded, I'm leaving, I'm out of here. There's a transition in place. Goodbye. He acknowledged, it's over. It's over. Vayokam melech chadash. And haloy davar, it's not a coincidence to say that this event has taken place in this week's parasha, against the backdrop of parashas Shemos, where it says, Vayokam melech chadash. And once we have that, it's very interesting to look at Rashi to see what are the nisyonos of a new melech. What is the we as a people who are the followers, what do we look for in a leader? Which are, this is just some observations. I'm not taking any condition. And there's a lot of criticism about this melech. What the pasuk? Well, I mean, you can say whatever you want to go say, but the pasuk from our perspective, al derech pshat, it seems to be that the Torah is very critical of the new melech, and obviously that's a lesson not to make those mistakes. Vayoka melech chodosh al mitzrayim asher lo yoda es yosef. Rashi says first of all, Rashi says vayoka melech chodosh. First of all, we have to know it's a machlokes Rav Shmuel. Chadama one says chodosh mamosh. A new malchus, a new king. The Chadamar, he's nothing new. He's the same old king. Shenitzchatshu gizeroisav. He made new decrees, a new policy, a change in policy. Asher lo yoda. What does that mean? Also atzmoi ki ilu lo yoda. He made himself as if he does not know Yosef. And this Al derech pshat, this is interpreted to be something extremely negative. Negative. To deny, to be a kofui toiv to the past. Many times a king, and many times we see it, you have a new change in guard. And a change in guard, on the contrast is with the end of the parasha, when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to present himself. I want to contrast, see, what I'm trying to do over here is build up a portrait. I want to contrast here two new leaders in the parasha. Melech Chodosh of Paro versus Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was no less Vayoka Melech Chodosh for Klal Yisrael than Paro was for Mitzrayim. Because later in the parasha, this whole parasha, we learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu recruiting Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a fugitive, he goes to Midian, and he gets married to Tzipora. And he's living there with Yisro, who's a shepherd. All of a sudden, he sees the sned that's burning. Hashem, he goes to look, and he turns away. Hashem says, take off your shoes. And then Hashem has a very, very long conversation with him. Chazal elaborate, Hashem desperately pleaded with him to consider going for a degree in politics. And earning a degree in community service. And Moshe says, no way, I'm not going to school to study community service in political science. I'm not going for a degree in political science, no way. And Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in the voice of his father. Who else would tell you to go to college and get a degree in political science? It's not for your father. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the voice of his father, and Amram. And Hashem, after much persuasion, convinced Moshe Rabbeinu to accept his proposal. He very quickly went to Harvard, got a PhD in political science, and then was on his way to Klal Yisrael. Now let's ask a question. Who was leading Klal Yisrael until that point in time? What, they were just like sheep without a shepherd? They were 600,000 men over the age of 20, which adds up to 2.5 million, at least 2.5 million Jews. What, they were just hefker? There were no rabbanim? there were no acknowledged gedolei, there were no leaders? Could that really be that everyone was just like a chicken without a head, doing whatever you want to do? It's impossible. Chazal say it was impossible. There were leaders. You know who the leaders were? Amram. Amram was the gadol hadar. He was the acknowledged leader of Klal Yisrael. Everyone looked up to him. Aaron, the brother of Moshe Rabbeinu, was the second in command. And now Moshe Rabbeinu arrives on the scene. And basically, the way it evolves, Aaron comes to greet him, and there's a changing of the guards. Vayakam melech chadosh. There's a new melech in Klal Yisrael. Moshe was a melech. Vayihi bishurun melech. There's a changing of the guards. Aaron steps down. Amram already died, it seems. It's not so clear. Maybe yeah, maybe not. I don't know. It's not so clear. Aaron steps down. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the lead. Moshe says, I can't go. They already have a president. I'm going to go step on their turf. They don't even know who I am. Don't worry. We'll work out all the details. We'll get you elected very quickly. Don't worry. We have methods of getting people elected. We'll get you in office very quickly, Moshe. Don't worry about that. I'll take care of that for you. Aaron steps down. Moshe takes the lead. Vayoka melech chodosh. So here we have in the parasha, we have to appreciate this point. We have two new kings coming to power. We have Paro coming to power. Vayoka melech chodosh asher lo yoda es Yosef. Chad oma chodosh mamish. We'll deal with that. And in Klal Yisrael, there's Vayoka melech chodosh. Moshe succeeds. He takes over the leadership from Aaron. What's the difference? What's the difference between a change in guard of Paro versus Moshe Rabbeinu? Let's first go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the parasha, he arrives on the scene. He comes to Klal Yisrael. Vayoymer Hashem el Aaron. Hashem speaks to Aaron. Aaron, guess what? It's time for you to retire. There's going to be a new king now. The changing of the guard. Vayokam lech likras Moshe hamidbara. Moshe is coming to town. Time for you to step down from office. New president. It's time for you to acknowledge the electoral college and give over the reins to someone else. Vayelech, he goes. Vayifkesheyu, he meets him. Biyahar olikim, vayishaklo, he's very gracious. Okay? I'm not trying to make any comparisons yet to politics. Let's just first focus on here what it says. Aaron goes, and Aaron is extremely gracious. He doesn't just elbow him. He kisses him. Violation of social distancing, corona protocols. He kisses him. He kisses the new leader. Vayelech vayifkesheyu b'har olikim vayishaklo. Unbelievable. He embraces him. He kisses him. Vayaged Moshe l'Aaron eis kol divrei Hashem asher dibe asher shlocho v'eis kol ha'oisois asher tzivahu. Vayelech Moshe v'Aaron is a gracious transfer of power that takes place. Isn't this amazing what's happening over here? Way ahead of their time. A transfer of power, the most gracious, elegant, kind, gentle transfer of power in the history of the world we're witnessing over here in this pasuk. Aaron, who was the Gadol Hadar, was leading the Jewish people, gives over his power to Moshe Rabbeinu. He embraces him, he kisses him, he goes together. They together gather the Jewish people. Vayasu es kol zignei b'nei Yisrael. Vayedaber Aaron es kol ha-dvarim asher diber Hashem al Moshe. And who's the one that gives over the message? Not Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron, the outgoing leader. It's incredible. This is awesome. This is the template of what it means, the transfer of peaceful power. It's unbelievable. Hashem is showing this to us this week. This week, against the backdrop of the secular world. Okay, we were blessed to live in America, and there's a lot of blessing here, And we're watching in front of our eyes a very unique transfer of power that is almost it turned tragic. Rachmana litzlan. Okay, it's sad that it had to end this way. It really is. We all know that. But before the tragedy was comical to a degree, right? It's tragic and comical in so many dimensions. But over here, look at the ideal. Look what Hashem is showing you. What really should be, of the ideal world. Vayasu is called Zigne, Vayidaber Aaron is called Dvar Hashem Dibra Hashem El Moshe Vayasu Oisus Leinei Ha'am. They did signs. They showed the people that this is correct. He proved his authenticity. Okay, interesting. Isn't that interesting? When there was a transfer of power, the transfer of power was done. Every single member of Klal Yisrael can say, this is an authentic transfer of power. There was oisos, there were signs, divine signs that were undeniable that this is correct. No one felt cheated. No one felt disenfranchised. No one felt insulted. The oisos were done. Le'enei ha'am. Everyone got to see. No secrets. No secrets. No hidden evidence. Everyone got to see. Vayamein ha'am. And the people had faith. They didn't go into a new leader with questions, with bitterness, with questions. Vayamein ha'am, vayishmu'u. And then it goes on to say what's relevant for their generation. They bow down. These psukim are just unbelievable. And the only reason why we're able to appreciate these psukim is because of hafeichba de kulaba. This week is a transfer of power. America is built upon the most amazing thing the world has ever seen. A peaceful transfer of power from one leader to another. This is something that is unprecedented in world history. And we see that it's not so simple. And Hashem has given us a gift by enlightening us. The event takes place against the backdrop of Parashat Shemos, where we also have a transfer of power in Klal Yisrael. Aaron was the leader, the undisputed leader, and now he's stepping down to allow Moshe to be the leader. And we read these psukim, and we see the love, the grace, the elegance, the kindness, the authenticity, and the confidence that the people have who their new leader is. It's off the charts. It's totally off the charts of what it really means, a peaceful transfer of power. Now, on the other hand, Paro, in the beginning of the parasha, also came to power. But let's go. I want to go with one critical thing I've got to mention. Let's go further. Moshe Rabbeinu now makes his inaugural address. The new leader makes the inaugural address. It's the inauguration. He goes on. Va'achar bo Moshe v'Aaron va'yomer. They go to Paro. They introduce the Paro. Okay, now let's get to the inaugural address. The inaugural address comes for Vichol Bamidbar. Wait, let's go where I'm looking for a different pasuk. In a moment. Okay, the inaugural address was already told to us before. Okay, let's go back. Let me explain to you. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu recruited Moshe and sent him to get a degree in political science, he taught him the following. Going backwards, when Hashem was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu what to say in his inaugural address. V'atolech, okay, v'yomer b'yishlach, v'divart, give me one moment. One moment. Okay, here it is. Back in Perek, Gimel, Hashem is recruiting Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem, basically Moshe accepted the mission, pretty much, before he has Charata, and Hashem tells him what you're going to do. I want you, Moshe, to go, Lech v'yosafta, I'm writing your speech for you right now, your inaugural address. Lech go, v'yosafta, gather as Ziknei Yisrael, v'yomarta alehem. This is what you're going to say, which is what really what Aaron said on his behalf, right? That's what we just read. Aaron went and said over the speech. Hashem, Elokei avoseichem nira elai. Okay, I'm authentic. I'm legitimate. I'm authentic. Elokei Avraham lo Yitzchak v'Yaakov lemar. B'koyit pokarti eschem v'yes ho'asui lochem b'mitzrayim. V'oimar, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. No, I missed the most important pasuk. I'm sorry. Go back a pasuk. I'm sorry. I'm going in circles here. Pasuk Tezvav, the pasuk before. Vayoymer oid Elokim el Moshe, ko somar el bnei Yisrael. This is the inaugural address. What are you going to say? Hashem Elokei avoseichem, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov, Shulchani aleichem. Here are the words. Ze shemi le'olam, v'ze zichri le'dor dor. What does that mean? Now, derech pshat, we all know this means, I'm telling you what my name is. Yud ke vav ke, those four letters. This is the way you spell it, and this is the way you pronounce it. You spell it yud ke vav ke, but you pronounce it aleph dalid nun yud. Right? That's like the classic, basic, bare bones translation of the pasuk tezvav. But I want to elaborate. It means something very different. Ze shemi le'olam means, this is my name. Le'olam doesn't always mean the future going ahead. We had this in Nach. I can't prove this to you at this moment, but I'm telling you drush, and if you disagree, I respect that. But I believe what I'm saying is emes. In the context of this pasuk, the fact that the end of the pasuk says ledor dor, that I'm assuming means the future, from this generation to the next generation. Thus, when it says ze shemi le'olam, it means backwards. Just like there's a principle of forever going forward, there is a principle of forever going backwards. This is the way it always was. Nothing has changed. We had that once, and we learned Navi somewhere. We say le'olam means forever. What does it mean forever? From today until the world comes to an end, whatever that means. The same way it means from today until going forward, it means from today going backwards from the time the world was created. So how do you know if the word le'olam is going forwards or backwards? It depends on the context. If the pasuk concludes v'zeh le'dor dor, which simply means for generation to the next generation, which is going forward, so we already got the future covered. Thus, when it says zeh shemi le'olam forever, we're going backwards. We're going backwards from the beginning of time. This is what you tell the Jewish people. You tell them, I've been here in the past, and I will be with you in the future. Yudke Vavke is, that's what it means, Hoyo, Hoyo the Year. Isn't that what Yudke Vavke really is? This pasuk refers to Shem Hashem Yudke Vavke. Yudke Vavke is a composite of three words: the past, the present, the future. Hoyo, Hove, Veyihiye. And here Hashem is saying it in words. Tell the Jewish people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been with you in the beginning, le'olam, from the time of creation, v'zeh zichri, and you'll remember me, le'dor dor, going forward into the future forever and ever. This is your inaugural address. What is the essence of the inaugural address? I wouldn't appreciate this pasuk. I would never appreciate what this pasuk really means unless I were able to contrast the change in power of Moshe, of Aaron to Moshe, verse Vayoko Melech Chodosh Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef. I'm contrasting the pasuk Vayoko Melech Chodosh Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef with the pasuk here This is the change in power between Aaron and you. When Moshe, take over Aaron, this is what you're going to say. At the moment of the transfer of power, this is what you're going to say. You're going to say, Zeshmi le'olam v'zezichu le'dor dor. When Paro came to power, you know what he said? Everything that happened in the past never happened. It's over. We're gonna shred it. Asher lo yoda es Yosef natsa atzmo ki ilu lo yoda. We will rewrite history. It didn't exist. The world starts from today. Whatever happened in the past, forget it. I don't want there to be any continuity from whatever existed. I'm the new king. I'm in charge. Shenischatshu gizei roisof. I'm going to make new laws. The world starts today with me. Ose atzmo. He made himself. He made a new creature. He made himself into a new... The world starts with me. The past... Ki ilu lo yoda. There was no past. That's what happened when Paro, a new Paro, came to town. The past doesn't exist. When Hashem says to Moshe, you're going to go to school. We're going to teach you what to say at your inaugural address. This is what you're going to say at the moment of transfer of power. And you're going to say, Rabbi Isai, nothing changed. Nothing has changed. The past, whatever happened in the past, is the future. Because I am representing, I'm a leader of Klal Yisrael. I represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what was in the past will be in the future. We will continue. We will proceed with the plans that have been implemented by my predecessors. Because this is Yados, this is Judaism. We're not here to rewrite history, to erase what was. We are here to continue the legacy. Zeshemi le'olam, I represent my policy, my domestic policy, my foreign policy, is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Zeshemi le'olam, this is what's been in the past. V'zezichri le'dardar, and whatever was is going to be in the future. I'm just sitting in the power of Malchus to guarantee that the legacy continues. I'm not here to take my predecessors and throw them in the garbage and remove their portraits from the White House. That's not my purpose.
And he mentions our founding fathers.
Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Yeah. So what we're presenting over here is, I think over here it's we're living through a transition. You can say whatever you want to go say, but I'm not here, I'm not going to go tell you my opinions because I'm not here to, I'm usually wrong about these things anyway. I always discover that my political beliefs turn out to be pretty off-center, pretty skewed, but that's not my point. The point over here is I just want to look at the parasha. Being that we're living in a time of transition, which is certainly has taken the attention of every single person that I know, fully absorbed in what is happening, and everyone has their take on it. But look at it's happening against the backdrop of Parsha Shemos, where there's a contrast between the change in leadership in Paro versus the change in leadership in Klal Yisrael. And look at the difference. Look at the difference. It's just mind-boggling. Vayakom el chodosh asher lo yoda es Yosef, osa atzmo ki iluhu lo yoda. Doesn't make any mention of any graciousness, any transition of any that has any derecheret. In fact, the word vayakom has a very negative connotation. The word vayakom almost sounds like he stepped on somebody. He rose up. He bullied his way in there.
Yeah, a coup.
Vayakom. The word vayakom doesn't sound too good to me. Okay, you study Tanakh and see how the word vayakom is used, and you'll find that it sounds like there was a coup. Was it legal? Was it illegal? Was it maybe a little legal, a little bit legal, a little bit not legal? Azoyin. You can go dashing all you want, but the word vayakom doesn't really ring well in my ears. Asher lo yoda. Nasa atzmo ki illo yoda. Get lost. The world starts today with me. That's Paro. Moshe, Aaron was the leader. Moshe takes over. He goes out to greet him. Vayifkeshehu, vayishakloi. Aaron gathers the people. They come together. Moshe Rabbeinu proves his authenticity beyond the shadow of a doubt in the presence. L'chol ha'om. Every living creature says Moshe is legit. There's no fighting. And what's the inaugural address? We're going to continue what we've been doing. Because this is the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is not some selfish regime of tyranny. This is divinity. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're going to continue the legacy of the Avos HaKadoshim. Ze Shemi Le'olam, Veze Zichri L'Dor V'Dor. What was, that Shem Hashem goes forward to the future.
Well, it's a proof what you just said. It says Ze Zichri, my remembrance is the past. Ze Shemi Le'olam, going backwards, because
right,
my Amalek says Milchamol Hashem.
All right, so I can say two things.
Way,
I hear what you're saying. I can say two things. First of all,
Idar Dar instead of Lidar Dar.
Okay, so we can say two things. Either we can say, I can defend this by saying that when it says Zech, Zezich means from the perspective of the future. When you'll be in the future, when you'll jump ahead 1,000 years, it will be Zichri. It's an expression. It's an expression which indeed literally means remembrance, which ordinarily means the past, but it's I don't think it's far-fetched to say Zezichri. It's a way of saying this will be my remembrance in the future. Or if you want, you can just reverse the idea that I said. Zezichri l'dardar is the past, and Zeshmi l'oilam is the future. Here I am. I'm presenting an agenda for the future. Zeshmi l'oilam. Let's say the word l'oilam means from now going forward. And what we're doing le'olam is going to be the same thing with zichri le'dardar backwards. What we're going to be doing in the future is exactly the same thing that we've been doing, that you remember we have been doing for the last million generations backwards to the time of creation. So you can reverse it if you really want. Okay. Now, so that is the transition.
I'm waiting for you to say the same speech of similar. When Moshe gives the leadership to Yoshua, see what happens there.
So there we have to see what it says over there, how that turned out. Okay, we have to go see how that turned out. Very good. Okay, we have to go analyze that. Okay, now I want to tell you something. Now, everything I told you, I don't think is controversial, because I didn't even talk about politics yet. Everything I think was pretty clean so far. Okay, to bring out, one thing, now I want to say something controversial. A little controversial, and I want to avoid controversy, and I'm not injecting any idea. I think this will be studied for generations. What happened yesterday? A lot of things happened yesterday. A lot, but there's one particular thing that really intrigued me the most. And I'll get to that one moment, but let me give you a little hakdam of why I'm saying this. Moshe Rabbeinu, in an unrelated matter, Moshe Rabbeinu, he arrives. He's a fugitive in this week's parasha. He runs away to Midian, and there he comes to the well, and he sees there the daughters, the seven daughters of Yisro. They gather around the well, and he says, what are you sitting here waiting around by the well? So they're waiting until the people go away so we can draw water. I'm not going through the details, but Moshe Rabbeinu, he makes an assessment that these young ladies are being harassed. They're being abused. So what does Moshe do? He defends them. He gets up there and he fights for them. He's a fighter. He fights for these young ladies. And he draws them the water. It says over there that they were harassed. The shepherds come and the shepherds drove them away. Get out of here. They drove away these young ladies. Vayoka Moshe, Vayoshion. Moshe is the strong man. He gets up there and he defends the weak. Vayashke soinam. And he himself provides them with what to drink. Good man. Moshe Rabbeinu was a good man. He defended the weak, the defenseless. He provided them, and not only did he defend them, he actually did their work for them. He went and he gave them the water himself. They arrive home, Vatovon El Ruel Avihen, Vayomer, Madua Mihar Ten Bohayim. Wow, what happened today? You're home so early? Normally you come home much later. Normally it takes a long time until all the dust settles and you're able to get the water. How did you come home so fast today? What did you do? You nuked them today? What did you do? Vatoimarna, they said, Ish Mitzri. Hitzilanu miyad harim, a gentleman. The word ish many times is expressed as a gentleman. You know how you know this? There's a famous from Yeruchim Lovavitz. So I want to ask Yeruchim, what should I look for in a shidduch? I have a daughter. Nu, should he be a yichus? Should he be rich? A rich family? Should he be a lamdan? Should he be tall and good looking? Charm? So Yochum Lubavitz, he said, it says in the Pasuk by the parsha of Moitzi Shemra, when the Shver comes in to complain to Bezin about the Edim, he says, Esbiti nosati le'ish. Ish means a mensch. The most important thing in the Shidduch is he should be a Baal Midos. He should be a mensch. Esbiti nosati le'ish. A mensch. After, that's the first thing. If he's not a Baal Gaiva, he's an arrogant person. All the milas don't mean are worthless. The first thing is he should be an ish, a mensch, a good person. Then you can talk about the milas. So she says, an ish mitzri, a gentleman. He came, ladies first. He went and he saved us, right? Not only did he save us, he did chesed. He didn't have to do that. It would have been enough. Yenu. It would have been enough if he would have just got rid of the perpetrators. And we alone would go and we would draw the water. Not only did he get rid of them, did he get rid of these people? He himself was a gentleman. He drew the water for us. Here comes the words. These words haunt me. These words haunt me because I've seen this, unfortunately, too many times in my few days. Vayomer El, and for me it's always a musr, it's a musr which I struggle with in my own life. Vayomer El Benoisov, he says to his daughters, Ve'ayoy, where is he? Lomo ze azavten es ho'ish. Where is your loyalty, my daughters? Why did you abandon the ish? Why didn't you bring him home to give him something to eat, to take him in? Lama ze. These words are haunting words. Lama ze. Azavten es ho'ish. Why did you abandon the ish? The gentleman. The person of Derech Eretz. He did you a toiva. And you just spit him out. Goodbye, good riddance. Lamaze. Loyalty means a lot in this world. It really does. Now you don't have to be loyal to. You only have to be loyal to someone who you have to be loyal to. You don't owe your loyalty to every yokel in the world. Obviously, you don't have to be nice to everyone. You only have to be nice to the people who you have to be loyal to. Who are you loyal to? Your wife, your children, your parents. Right. There are people in this world who deserve your loyalty. That's a fact. Now, what am I saying this for? I tell you, this is very controversial. I warn you, it's controversial. I don't want to ruffle anyone's feathers. And I'm not saying anything. I really believe this is something that will be studied and analyzed. It should be if it was the behavior of our vice president, Pence. Now, I am not fluent in constitutional law. I am not knowledgeable in all the nitty-gritty details of how all of these things work. The whole world this week, the whole world was watching this very bizarre, strange, unique thing where there were people that were challenging the legitimacy of the election. We all know that. Some people will tell you, Dvarim, the whole thing, Trump is a nutcase and there was no fraud and the numbers, all the evidence is a lie. I'm not here. It appears from my limited knowledge that the Vice President of the United States had constitutional power to do something. I don't know exactly what that means. It's not logical that he can just reject it. That doesn't seem like, from the little that I understand, that he can just blatantly say, I'm not going to accept this. But it does seem that he did have a little leeway in demanding at this moment, before we authenticate, before we certify, I think there should be an investigation. I think that 52 courts of law in the United States of America who have rejected the acceptance to even look, to even acknowledge that there is evidence, to acknowledge evidence. I mean, people are in prison for life, for you go on a witch hunt, they can put anyone in jail for anything. There's evidence if you could put anyone away. There does appear to be evidence. It shouldn't just be, 70 million people in the country. 70 million people also, there are many people in the country that feel, as they use the word, disenfranchised. I don't know. Listen, I told you, I watched the whole thing. I listened to his speech, to Pence's speech, very carefully, describing the tragedy of what happened today, of the loss of life, and the people who have been injured, and the chaos, and the bizarreness of what. I listened to that speech very carefully, and I listened to all the things, and I don't know enough to come, but all I can tell you is, I really feel he was much, much too, the outcome, what he should have done probably would be the same anyway. But the way he did it, I really feel, personally, I don't know if again, I'm warning you, disclaimer, you can argue with me and I'm fully willing to accept, he went too far. He was too gracious in giving in. Even though he would have to give in anyway, it was too gracious. Being that, you're the vice president. Your job is to devote your loyalty to the president. If this was Trump's wife, think about it. Let's say Lu Yitzu, make believe.
Rabbi,
let's say,
you gonna have any rebuttal here, Rabbi?
Yeah.
You gonna allow a rebuttal, or you gonna go what? That's not his job at all. His job is to count,
open the
ballots and count the vote, and that's it. Open. And count. That's the job of the vice president.
Does the vice president have
what you're saying is really wrong. That's all
I can say. I accept. Dr. Fruchter, I accept. I accept.
I'm not there to express loyalty to Trump.
I accept, Dr. Fruchter.
You don't accept it.
I do. But let me ask you a question.
There's been over 60 court cases that threw out all the objections. This has been looked at for 2 months. It's time
to move on.
There was no fraud on any
okay, I accept. I fully
keep on saying it, but you keep on saying it.
There's another side. The same way
it's not fine.
The same way I fully respect your opinion.
It's not a question of opinion. That's the job. That's the fact of what the vice president does when the electoral vote is counted on January 6th. He's like the Oscar. Someone put it. It's like when they have the Oscar night. And a person comes up, the presenter, he opens the envelope and he reads the winner. Here you have to add up the 50 states and do the addition and come up with how many electoral votes were cast for each candidate. That's how it works.
Let me ask you a question.
I don't understand.
Can we just cut the feedback until you finish? Okay. Rabbi Frying finishes talking.
He already
is in his
point.
Dr. Fruchter.
All right. Okay. We're cut. Okay. Okay.
And after 12, everyone can give their
Dr. Fruchter, let me rephrase it. As I said before, let's assume you are correct. That's his job. That's his job. Let me apologize to your sensitivity, and let me accept what you said. I'm just turning the background. So just 1 second, because of that. Let me rephrase. I apologize. I didn't mean to. I told you. I don't. You're right. His job is to count the votes and to affirm what is correct. It's not in my perspective. It's not necessary to give a long speech to kiss up to the other side. This is my job. I will do my job as I'm told to. I will open the envelope, read the votes, and affirm. The whole demeanor is, I capitulate, you're right, and we're wrong. That's my job. I will do my job. He was selected. There is now, we have to acknowledge there's another side. The law is not on your side. You lose. The law, so you're wrong. Dr. Fuchter, you're right. He wins. But there is another side that has their sensitivities, just like you are telling me that you're very sensitive. You also have an obligation to be sensitive to the other side. There's a way to follow the law without betraying what is perceived, to, at least to me as a citizen, as a duty to be loyal to who gave you this job. The President of the United States does not select a candidate that is from a different party that's going to show him up every other second. When you select a candidate, Biden selected Harris. Biden did not select someone from the Republican Party. You select a person that is part of your team. If you lose, you lose. So you lose. We lose. We are very gracious in our losing. In just the way I saw it, you go back, this is how we lose, and we're losing. I'm going to be very great. He was too gracious. Too gracious. And it bothers me, because whose team are you on? You're on the other team. When you're on this person's team, there's a way to be gracious in losing. Not to give up on your loyalty. Loyalty counts for something in this world. Lama, the Pasuk says, Lama zen ze azavten es ho'ish. There was a complaint. Why did you abandon? Abandon doesn't just mean you do something, you do something. There's a certain attitude, a certain flavor, which is disappointing. You have to realize there are 70 million people who feel wronged. They lose. The law is not on their side. But it doesn't mean I'm switching sides. It means I graciously lose. You, Dr. Fruchter, disagree. I fully understand that. And I really think that this event will be debated by many people. What is loyalty all about in this world? Now, I don't have to be loyal to Trump. What did Trump do for me? I have no obligation to be loyal to him. I have nothing from him. But Pence is his vice president, is the vice president.
Pence waited patiently while each court case came up.
Okay, I didn't mean this to be. I didn't mean this to be so political.
Every case,
if I'm wrong, I fully accept.
And Trump was told there's nothing here.
I just. This is my feeling.
Okay,
let's finish up. Let's try to finish up with one more vart on a happier note. Okay, let's finish up with not with a. A
short Friday, so let's.
Okay, just let's finish up on something that is more positive, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, something very short. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Nikra Eleinu." Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "This is something." He says to Hashem, "says to you should, when you go to Paro and you tell Paro, I want you to say that Hashem was Nikra Eleinu." What is the word Nikra Eleinu? Nikra Eleinu, Hashem, the Targum says Hashem called to us. The problem is Nikra here is spelled with a hey. And the word hey is more similar to, it's not the same word, but a chance occurrence, like a mikra. But that's not what it means here. Nikra Eleinu, we would expect, should be spelled with an aleph, which means to call out. Yet it's spelled here with a hey. When Moshe goes to Paran and says that we want to go to the desert and go worship, we want to worship Hashem, Hashem explicitly called out to us. It's not what Hashem said. Hashem said, Elokeho Ivrim, Nikra. Nikra, literally, if I'm not mistaken, means it was a chance occurrence. It just so happens that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, he met us by accident, like a Mikra. You're walking in the street and you just happen to come across, you find something, you're good luck. Mikra with an aleph is spoke to us, which represents, it has a connotation, a deliberate conversation of speaking to a person, speaking to a person. So what is it? Same idea I wanted to say before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, when you go speak to Paro and you say to him, Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael and said, I want you to be my chosen nation, and I want you to go out into the desert, and worship me. Don't speak to Paro with gaiva. Don't go and say that Hashem spoke to me as a calling. That there's no nation in the world that is so great and so powerful and so mighty. That may be true, but you have to humble yourself. You're going to go to him. You're going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he spoke to us. But the way it's spelled, the way it's presented, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the message to Moshe, is you're nothing so special. It's just almost like an accident that I happen to come and meet you in the desert, meet you over here and see that you're suffering, and I want to redeem you. In other words, the difference between the way it's spelled and the way it would actually means in it of itself is a message to Moshe Rabbeinu, is that when you present yourself to the nations of the world, don't present yourself with gaiva. Present yourself with humility. No, Hashem chose us. Hashem chose us. And we're going to say, Hashem chose, it's a fact, we're the chosen nation. But don't take advantage of that to lord over other people with an attitude that you're better, you're more entitled, and you're superior. You have to present yourself with humility. Rabbi Sai, have a